Some of you come up and speak. Well, tonight, we have one of you coming up and teaching the whole thing. So what that means is you're going to be respectful. You're going to listen because Imani's got some good words for you. She's been working hard on this. So bring up Imani.
Hi. Always so good to see you guys. I've got to be completely honest with you, though. I kind of have a problem. And that's that my car really needs tires, like really bad. It's a danger for me to be on the road. And I need tires before the snow comes to stay. So I have one problem that goes along with that. And it's a secret. I don't know anything about cars. I don't know anything about tires. And so my car needing tires is kind of a problem. I've tried researching, but everywhere says that they have the best ones, and it doesn't make sense. It feels kind of really impossible, so I decided to ask a family member about it because I don't know what I'm doing, and he's very good with cars. So I texted him. I said, hey, this is what I need. Can you help me at all? I don't know what I'm doing or where to go from here. And guess what he said? Thanks for asking. He said he'd love to help me. So no need to worry. I'll be getting tires soon. But sometimes I think, had I not reached out, I would be in the same spot that I was before. Clueless and tireless. Have you ever tried to do something on your own and it just felt impossible? It could be something like homework, chores, working out, getting tires. But then when you asked someone to help you, it became so much easier. Sure, you can do all of those things on your own, but when you do them with other people, it kind of makes it a whole lot easier. I could have done the tires on my own, but again, doing it with someone made it easier. We read about something like this in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. It's right after Psalms and Proverbs, closer to the middle of your Bible, if you'd flip there with me. So in this part of Ecclesiastes, the writer's talking about how he's seen people being oppressed by those above them. The people that are above them are treating them horribly, almost as if they aren't even real people. And those being oppressed, the ones receiving that horrible treatment, they're alone and they have no comfort. Giving hope to these people comes verses 9 through 12. It says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil or work. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. In this, we read that two are better than one because they have a good return for their toil or their work. When two or more people come together to work on something, the reward is greater. Now, this doesn't exactly mean that they'll be getting more money or anything like that, but it's referring to a deeper understanding of their friendship and what each other have going on. Lots of people around me knew I needed tires, but they didn't know how badly I needed them or how clueless I really was. By telling my family members, I invited them fully into that struggle with me, allowing them to see what was really happening and what I needed. Without their help, I would likely be slipping and sliding and making more mistakes and hurting myself more than necessary. Working together has made the journey so much easier, and although I don't have my tires yet, I know that with their help, I won't make as many mistakes. And we read about this in verse 10, where it says that, for if they fall, one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. In life, we're going to fall, and we're going to make mistakes. It's inevitable. Allow me to paint you a picture of what my day-to-day life looked like not so long ago. So it would be one of those days where I woke up and I kind of just dragged myself out of bed. By habit, I would walk to the bathroom, splash my face with some water. I'd look at my toothbrush. Maybe I brushed my teeth. Maybe I didn't. I'd go to school, go to work, wherever else that I was headed that day. And I would do the things that I needed to do to be done with the day. Then it'd be time for lunch. I'd grab my food, and I'd walk to the table I'd sat at since the beginning of the year. And I'd sit, surrounded by the same people that I've sat by this whole time. And yet, I still felt so alone. Finishing the school or work day, I headed home, only to continue doing the things that I had to do. So I'd go home. I'd scroll for a bit just to see what everyone's up to. Someone in my class just had a birthday. The post looks really cool. Someone else is complaining about their work or school load. Another person just ran a marathon. They got a new personal best. I was exhausted. And yet, that's just how every day went. Maybe every month. I'd go to bed, unwelcome to the idea of a morning yet to come. I went, day by day, hour by hour, feeling more and more alone, even though I was surrounded by the people that I saw every day. Some days were okay, though. Sometimes, maybe I'd passed my math test, my friend told me a really funny joke in science, or I went home and had a cookie. But if we're being honest, the first day is a day that a lot of us have experienced. You go through the motions because you must, making every day just to the end, just enough to make it to tomorrow. You feel weighed down by something, and whether that's pressure, an expectation, whatever it may be, and then you hide it away, putting whatever is holding you down to the back of your mind because you don't want to think about it. But it only bothers you more. And then this little feeling creeps in. It's loneliness. I've had months like that where I do just enough to make it through the day, but didn't want to bother people around me because, well, I didn't want to weigh them down too. You think about reaching out to a friend. You check their Insta, see they're out with other people, and you don't want to bother them, so you don't reach out. Everyone else seems to be just fine, laughing, having fun, carefree. Yet here you are, nose just above the water, not drowning, but not swimming, hurting, in pain, and weighed down by whatever has its grip on you, but not hurting enough to ask for help. Not yet. You can do it on your own. You just have to be strong enough, but you still feel alone in it. And feeling alone can feel so lonely. There's a multitude of things that we feel alone in. And in a world so connected by social media, it hurts my heart to know how many people feel so alone. You'd think that in a place where I can just press a button and be connected to a whole world and speak to someone, see what strangers, other people are doing, that maybe I'd find someone who relates to me. Yet every time I open my phone, go outside, I compare the way that I'm feeling to other people, and I feel more and more alone. I see lives I could be living, ones that are more productive, ones that are more active or more alive. And I compare them to the life that I have, bleak, boring, and uneventful. I compare those things to the highlights of a picture-perfect life that's bright, fun, and exciting. I see people that I could have been, with a tight-knit friend group and healthy relationships. I had never seen someone talking about how anxious they were, expressing worry for their future or worrying what other people thought of them. Yet still, I compared my life to theirs. I and many people I know have experienced many things that have made us feel alone. Things like a stomach-wrenching anxiety, the deepest pits of depression where it feels like all hope is gone, feeling like no one else gets it, struggling with family issues that you're too scared to talk about. We've experienced addiction, doubt in God and his existence, feeling like God doesn't talk to you, or when you don't want to do what everyone else is doing and feeling different from those around you. Sometimes it's finding comfort in something that you want to change, but you don't want to be uncomfortable, and you're afraid of what you don't know. Oftentimes, we find comfort in things that aren't very good for us. Sometimes that's a show we probably shouldn't watch, or an addiction, whatever it may be. We continue to do it, even though it's hurting us more. Sometimes we want to change it. We want to stop that behavior or watching that show, but you don't, because it makes you feel safe. Maybe it's something you've relied on for so long that it scares you to think about a life without it. So you don't stop. You do these things knowing that you probably should stop, but you look around and it doesn't seem like anyone else has that problem. They stop when it gets to be too much, but here you are, stuck in this repeating pattern of doing something you shouldn't, feeling bad about it, wanting to change, then doing whatever it was again in an attempt to feel better, and, well, feeling bad and alone in it. If we're being so very honest, being alone sucks. And as sucky as it may be, the majority of us have felt alone. And likely, we will all feel alone at some point in our lives. There's this idea in science where if something isn't moving, it isn't going to move, unless something acts upon it. We do the same thing when we feel alone. We start feeling alone, or we stop moving. So we stop reaching out. We stop asking for help. We stop whatever it may be. We stop requesting that assistance. And because of that, we start isolating ourselves. But the longer we sit in this state of isolation and loneliness, the worse it gets, unless something happens to make us move. When I was in eighth grade, I felt so very hopelessly alone. I felt like nobody cared about me and that nobody ever would. Because of this, I pulled myself away from many relationships. I felt so alone in what I was going through that I had convinced myself that nobody else cared, that they didn't want to hear about my problems because there were more important things to deal with that weren't me. Because of this, I was led to a state of isolation that led me to feeling more and more alone, leaving me feeling worse than before. I sought help in the form of influencers and other people, searching for somebody who understood what I was going through and could help me get out of it. Yet in every place I looked, I compared my situation to theirs. I felt like no one ever could or ever would understand what I was going through. Due to this, I fell into a hopelessness, a depression that controlled the way that I lived and behaved. Eventually, one day, I was struggling so bad that I figured I might as well tell one person before no one else gets the chance to know. So I told her, openly and honestly, what I was experiencing. I didn't expect anything from her. I just wanted her to hear me. I didn't know it then, but that was the turning point for me in my hopelessness, in my despair. And she sat with me in that despair, leading me and pointing me to another reality where there was light. She told me, God has a plan for you to do great things. I know you will. Then we just sat. She stayed with me even when I might not have been giving her as much as she was giving me. All she did was stay with me. Her presence was constant, and she would check on me even if I hadn't said a word. And my change wasn't one that happened very fast. It was very slow, very gradual. But by allowing her to sit in that grief with me, it made the load I was carrying so much lighter. She gave me space to talk about what I was going through and experiencing, and challenged that thing, the things that were making me feel lonely and the things that were making me isolate myself. Without challenging those thoughts and feelings of loneliness, I would have remained in the same spot that I started in. I needed to move in order to change. Ecclesiastes 4:10 says, "We will fall, but if you have someone alongside you, they can help you and pick you up." When the hard things come, we can be there for each other and lift up one another, guiding each other through the hard things. And in verse 12, where it says, "And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken." When we stand alongside one another, we hold each other up, and we are just like, we just be together. We're able to stand stronger than we could if we were on our own. We learn here that there truly is strength in numbers. One can lift another, and they help and provide assistance for each other. If you're thinking, "I can't move," or "you don't know how," I hear you. I understand. And I have something for you too. Invite God and invite others. Invite God into whatever you're going through. So write this down. Jesus, I feel alone in. And then fill in the blank. Jesus, I feel alone in my anxiety. Jesus, I feel alone in my family situation, whatever it may be. Write it down. Then invite others. Tell someone, anyone, what you're going through. And if you don't know who to tell, tell your small group. Tell your small group leaders. Tell a friend, a parent, a grandparent, Matthew, Amanda, your aunt, your uncle, anybody. Just allow someone else into your struggle, into that loneliness with you. It says in Ecclesiastes that the hard things will be easier when we allow other people to help us or simply sit with us. It's better to suffer with somebody than to suffer alone. And I told you about how when I felt alone, I invited a friend into that loneliness with me. If you aren't feeling alone, think about how you can be like my friend to somebody else. There are so many people around you every single day who feel alone. And you don't have to say or do very much. Just being there will help. Your loneliness isn't final. And the truth is, because of Jesus, we can feel alone, but never truly be alone. He's with us always, wherever we go, and whatever we do. And I know that sounds like a quick fix, patch it all up saying that people use to make you feel better, but it's true. God has completed every single promise he's made so far. And he promises to be with us always. Why would he stop now? If you're in that boat, tell him. And I know that and some of you feel like he's not even there, but tell someone else then. And even if you've already told him, tell someone else. Say something. Everything is better when done in community. And if you don't say anything in your small group, tell someone outside of church. Allow people to sit with you, to be with you, and when the time comes, to help you stand. And please remember, whatever is said in your small groups stays there. If someone shares something, we expect it to stay in your group. Please honor that confidence and help us help each other. I encourage you in your small groups tonight to speak up. Now, before we go to our small groups, we're going to take a few minutes to just sit with the prompt. Jesus, I feel alone in blank. and then fill in your blank. Maybe you write it down and you journal about it, or maybe you just pray about it and keep it in your head. Whatever it is, please know, your small group is here for you. Your leaders, they care about you. And we have a God who cares about every detail of our lives. Please, allow us to sit with you in your loneliness.